Well, thank you once again for joining us for another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry. The ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word Hand Car Washing Business, located in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W. We're in the Palace Shopping Center, and there you can come by and get your car hand washed, and you can tune to 107.1 FM. You can hear Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. We're now doing it 24 hours a day. All you have to do is be in the parking lot and just be near the building and turn to 107.1 FM, and you can hear these and other messages throughout the week. We open up this business for the reason, one of the reasons of getting God's Word out into the public and doing it in a format that's not your typical four walls of the church. We believe that there's enough churches, there's just not enough of the Word of God. And so we opened up a business that we can get the Word of God out there. And if you're interested in maybe taking part in this, if you own a business and you want to have the Word of God just playing as an opportunity for people to click on and listen to while they're outside of your business or inside of your business, just give us a call here at 423-920-0913 or go to the website. And we're going to try to start promoting this year and getting the Word of God out into other businesses. So if you're interested in becoming a part of this ministry, give us a holler. We're on the air at WMCH 1260 AM radio Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM. And of course, you can go to the washandword.com website. That's washed, the letter N, word.com. And there you can find out all the information about this business and this ministry. So let us get back to our verse by verse Bible teaching. We're currently in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. And if you've been following along or if you know your Bible, you know that Solomon has done an extensive work and research into finding basically the meaning of life. And we've examined just about every avenue that one could possibly take in the quest for that search of peace and that search of meaning. But we're going to continue now in, like I said, chapter 7. And the last thing we had read in verse 17 was, "Do not be overly wicked, do not be a fool. Why die before your time? Is it good to grasp the one and not let go of the other? The man who fears God will avoid all extremes." And we kind of ended talking about those extremes, being overly wicked or even overly righteous, that there's a place in the middle. And, you know, God is a God of balance and a God of order. And we have to remember that no matter what side of the fence we're leaning towards, because we have a tendency towards wickedness as a human fleshly body, but as a born-again believer with the Spirit of God, we have a tendency to lean towards righteousness, and we balance these two out. And if we lean too much towards wickedness, well, I mean, he says, why die before your time? Obviously, an extremely wicked life and all that is involved in that could certainly lead to an early death, but even an extremely righteous life has its share of caution, as we can become so self-righteous that we actually do more damage for the kingdom than good. And so, again, it's just finding that balance. We don't want to be anywhere in the evil, wickedness side, but at the same time, we need to be comforted and kept in check at all times, knowing that even in our holiness and even in our righteousness, even in while we're doing good deeds, it should be ever tempered by the fact that it just one slip up, one bad mistake, and we could fall into, and it just goes back to the scripture that by the grace of God, there go I. Let's keep that at the forefront of our minds. Because if we keep that realization in the front of our minds, it helps us to come to grips with the reality that we will stumble and we will fall and sin and slip up. And again, some people are morally bankrupt and perverse through and through, but most of us just need to remember that fallen nature plus fallen world plus fallen flesh equals fall. It's not a complicated equation. We live in a fallen nature, in a fallen world with a fallen flesh, and we will occasionally fall. So you sinned. Now, not to make light of it or to excuse it in any way, but who do you think you are? I mean, did you not think you were gonna slip? Did you think you were not going to sin or mess up at some point? a fallen nature plus a fallen world plus a fallen flesh equals a fall. We are going to slip up. Of course you did. Of course you're going to. You're not that holy, but this is where the Bible and grace kicks in. Get up. Brush yourself off. Confess. Get right with God and then move on back into that sanctification. Move on into righteousness, knowing that Romans 8:9 says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. Now that sinful nature can grab a hold of you sometimes and cause you to trip and stumble, but you are not controlled by it. You are controlled by the Spirit. And so verse 19, he says, wisdom makes one wise man more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. And what is wisdom? I mean, we've already examined it in detail. If you go back, and again, you can go to washandword.com for all the archived messages. But wisdom is really the fear of God, the knowledge of God. And this is where the power comes from. He says, wisdom makes a wise man more powerful. Where do we get our power? It's from God. And we get our wisdom from God. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Well, maybe there is. Listen, wisdom and power do not often bunk together in humility. Let that sink in for a second. Wisdom and power do not often bunk together with humility. I have known extremely wise people, smart people. They're not very humble. And I've known some very powerful people. Maybe you do too. They're not very humble. And if you put the two of them together, well, then you have not very humble times two. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Meekness is having power under control, wisdom under control. And those things out of control, well, ask Nebuchadnezzar how that worked out for him. He found himself chewing grass and acting like an animal. Ask Hitler how his life of uncontrollable power turned out. Or Nero. Or the government. I mean, it doesn't matter. The wisdom of this world often leads to a fall. And as for wisdom, I mean, who is really wise anyway? What is the wisdom of this world in the eyes of God? You know, Stephen Hawking was one of the wisest people to ever live, but unless something happened that we don't know about, he died and went to hell. All the wisdom of this world is what to God? Yeah, it's foolishness. But if we fear God and we revere God and we hear God, well, this is true wisdom. This is the wisdom that can combine and sleep with power and still remain humble. Verse 20 says, there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Excuse me? Does somebody have a problem with that? Would you dare argue with that? I would hope not. I mean, we all know this is true. We are all sinners. Everyone would admit that no one's perfect. And everybody knows it. This summarizes that he is aware, Solomon's aware that we live in a fallen world. Even then he knew. Verse 21, he goes on to say, do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. This is a good one. You know, we always want to know what somebody's saying about us, or if they're whispering behind our backs. Well, Solomon says, chances are you don't want to know what they're saying, because if they're whispering, it's probably not something you want to hear anyway. I remember when my daughter was a teenager, you know, I never wanted to eavesdrop on her 16-year-old conversations, because half the time I either didn't want to know what they were doing or thinking or saying, or the other half of the time she was probably complaining to them about me. And I don't want to hear what her or her friends might have to say. Now, my image of my daughter at the time was far from perfect, but what innocence that I did perceive about her, I wanted to protect. And if we listen to people, we may hear them saying things about us that we don't want to hear. Find ourselves saying, I can't believe what he or she said. I would never say that. And then we think to ourselves, really? Would I never talk that way? Solomon goes on to say in verse 22, for you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. And so, and there it is again. We don't want to hear what people have to say about us because it might not be what we want to hear. But friends, on the same hand just flipped over, there we are doing the same exact things. I find this both a blessing and a curse. Yes, we live in a fallen world with a fallen flesh. And so when I have a few choice words or a few choice thoughts to my fellow motorists, well, let's just say I'm blessed to know that we all sin and we all slip up. You see, the curse is that while I'm saying something or thinking something under my breath about another person, someone else is saying something equally perverse against me. And I mean, yeah, you know, we're all going to fall once in a while and say some of those things. But when we take an attitude of forgiveness and understanding, that prevents us from ushering in excuses for our behavior. I mean, sure, you say and you think things, and I say and I think things that are not right. They're not good. It's human nature. It's the flesh. It's the fallen world. But it's not right, and it's not okay, and it's certainly not Christ-like. And so we need to live in sober judgment. He goes on to say in verse 21 and 22, do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servants cursing you, for you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. That is a balance out of unrighteousness, but two wrongs don't make a right. Verse 23, all this I tested by wisdom, and I said, I am determined to be wise, but this was beyond me. Whatever wisdom may be, it is far off and most profound. Who can discover it? And so I turned my mind to understanding, to investigate and to search out wisdom and the search of things and understand the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. Stop right there. So he turns his mind to understanding, to investigate and to search out wisdom and the scheme of things and to understand the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. So he changes his search from wisdom to understanding. Because sometimes just understanding why someone does something stupid or why you do something stupid is the first step towards fixing it. Have you found it true in your life that sometimes the best way to learn something is to learn about its opposite? In fact, that's what we talked about when we opened up this book. The Ecclesiastes is a unique work because it helps us in our understanding of ourselves, but it does so in an opposite contrasting way. Rather than, as Jesus would just put it forward, teachings that we were to figure out and apply to our lives, Solomon applies the same type of teaching, but does it in a contrasting way, in an opposites way. And it's an equally effective measure to train us in righteousness, just a different type of way. But I'm going to leave you as we wind down our time here with this application point. Solomon's pinnacle of wisdom was his ability to grasp how unwise he really was. Solomon's pinnacle of wisdom was his ability to grasp how unwise he really was. And when he sought out understanding, he found out that the wiser you are, perhaps the less wise you really are. It's an ever-expanding well, and we'll touch back on this in our next message. We want to encourage you to come by the Wash and Word and support this radio ministry and support this business by allowing us to work to earn the money that it takes to keep this self-supported ministry alive. We never ask or request any kind of donations or charities. We want to work to earn the money to keep this ministry going. You can go to washandword.com for insight and information. Oh, and I wrote a book. If you go to amazon.com to the Kindle section, you can type in Matthew Mannona, The Tearing Down of America, and it's a book describing the present day church. And if you have any information, just call. If you want more information, it's 423-920-0913. Have a blessed day.